Welcome, everyone. Kelly McAfee became interested in early Mormon polygamy when she learned she was related. She was related to Fanny Alger. She pulled out her watercolors and began painting what would become over 100 portraits of the men and women of early Mormon polygamy over a 9-week period. Wow. She then took on a 5-week task of painting faces and sewing clothes for character dolls of Joseph Smith's 40 wives, along with dolls of Joseph Smith and Jane Manning. Taking a step back from the project, the results were not what she expected. Come see for yourself. Kelly McAfee teaches first grade and special education at the Hebrew Academy of Cleveland. Sorry, I'm out of breath still. In Cleveland Heights, Ohio. In her spare time, she's a volunteer tour guide at the Kirtland Temple. Kelly is also a writer and an artist. Help us welcome Kelly McAfee.
Thank you. Welcome. I'm going to just slip off my shoes. You guys smell something? Tell me and I'll put them back on. My dogs are tired. Between April 1841 and November 1843, Joseph Smith Jr. acquired some 40 spiritual wives. For those who appreciate math, that's an average of 2.1 wives per month or 0.5 wives per week. In 1827, at the tender age of 21, Joseph Smith eloped with Emma Hale. However, it was May of 1843, so about 15 years later, before Emma was sealed to her husband spiritually, already 24 spiritual wives in. Joseph's first recorded affair was Frances Fanny Alger. A teenage girl, Fanny worked in the Smith household in Kirtland, Ohio, in the mid-1830s. It was reported that Emma kicked the young woman out of their home after discovering the affair. A scene that played out in future with other women. Now, this is a little vignette I made of my dolls with Emma kicking Eliza Snow down the stairs. And, of course, Joseph's all up in arms. And we don't know if that's historically accurate. That's one record of the story, is that she kicked Emma down the stairs. Another has her chasing her out with a broom. But we know that whatever happened, she kicked Eliza out of the house after finding out she was married to her husband. Mosiah Hancock, Francis's cousin, reported in 1896 that Fanny was a spiritual wife to Joseph and not simply a lustful affair. I drew my own conclusion on that matter, and that is where my story begins. I live in Kirtland, just a 2-minute walk from the still-standing Smith home, where Fanny made her quiet and certainly shame-filled exit in the middle of a cool spring night. As a visitor to Ohio in 2017, I saw the Smith home for the first time. And thanks to Linda Newell and Val Avery, I began to read Emma Smith's biography, Mormon Enigma, where I read Frances's or Fanny's story for the first time. I grew up Mormon. I was Mormon my entire life. They don't teach these stories in primary. I discovered Frances married Solomon Custer after leaving Kirtland, which led me to the discovery that I am related to Frances Alger Custer. As I learned about my relative manipulated by a much older man, my heart broke for her. And I did what I do when my heart is breaking. I pulled out my paints. An hour later, I had a portrait of Fanny Alger. I had no picture of Fanny to draw from, only this description. Emma took 19-year-old Fanny into her home early in 1835. Benjamin F. Johnson said she was a very nice and comely young woman about my own age, towards whom not only myself, but everyone seemed partial for the amiability of her character, and it was whispered even then that Joseph loved her. It It would be the first of over 100 portraits of women of early Mormon polygamy that I would draw over the following 9 weeks. I read each of their stories as I painted. Thank you. Each story brought pain, and each birthed a portrait. I finished Newell's and Avery's book, then consumed Todd Compton's In Sacred Loneliness and George Smith's Nauvoo Polygamy. These books quickly became my Bibles for this study. As I finished each portrait of these women whose stories are now mostly ignored or forgotten by my people, I posted their stories and their portraits on Facebook. I sat down last summer in my new Kirtland home that looks out at the Kirtland Temple, and with over 100 portraits associated with Mormon polygamy in my lap, I measured the stack with my thumb and forefinger. This represents 100 women, I thought. I separated the stack of Joseph's wives. This is what 40 looks like. Shuffling through the 40, I sifted out the 5 sets of sisters he married. I sorted the 2 mother-daughter pairs. I laid aside portraits of girls who were under the age of 16. I wondered exactly how many of the women and girls worked in the Smith household before they married the man they considered a prophet. I then looked at my portrait of Eliza Snow and wondered how many of them were Emma's friends. The portraits were not enough. I felt the need to quantify them in a more physical way, but how? Weeks later, I continued poring through my polygamy Bibles as I unpacked my things from my recent move to Ohio. I found boxes of doll parts that were leftovers from my hobby of repainting Bratz dolls into film characters. This is what a Bratz doll looks like, for those of you who haven't seen them. So this is what they would have looked like with their factory paint. I held a little blonde doll, ran a finger across her cheek, and thought, this could be Mary Elizabeth Rollins. Within hours, I wiped her face clean with acetone, repainted her with light blue eyes and a subtle smile, and dressed her in a long violet-colored gown I modified with my sewing machine, all the while giving her the love and care that young Mary deserved. When finished, I held in my hand a physical representation of sweet Mary Elizabeth Rollins, who was told by Joseph Smith at the age of 12 that God intended her to be his wife. Joseph said I was his before I came here. He said all the devils from hell should never get me from him. I then picked a red-haired doll. This could be Helen Mar Kimball, I thought. And soon she was, dressed in a delicate yellow flower print dress. Helen Mar Kimball, who wrote, "My father had but one ewe lamb, but willingly laid her on the altar. How cruel this seemed to the mother whose heartstrings were already stretched until they were ready to snap asunder, for he had taken Sarah Noon to wife, and she thought she had made sufficient sacrifice. But the Lord required more." Sarah Ann Whitney, whose parents seemed oddly thrilled to give up their 17-year-old daughter to a 30-something Joseph, came next. Melissa Lott, who thankfully recorded the words of the ceremony for us, which are here. "You both mutually agree to be each other's companion, husband and wife, observing the legal rights belonging to this condition. That is, keeping yourselves holy for each other and from all others during your lives." Sarah Ann Whitney remembered similar vows, with an exception for Joseph, who, of course, had many other wives, which were, "reserving only those rights which have been given to my servant Joseph by revelation." Then the orphaned Lucy Walker, who was a teen when she was taken into the Smith household and seduced by her caretaker. Next came Fanny. Then Emma. Rhoda Richards. The Partridge sisters. The Johnson sisters. recently discovered wives Esther Dutcher and Marianne Voorhees, and on, until 5 weeks and 40 wives later, Joseph and Jane Manning, who must not be forgotten, were standing together on my kitchen table. Five sets of sisters wearing matching dresses. The two mother-daughter pairs in coordinating clothing, and the girls under age 15 in bare feet. These women finally were physically quantified. 42 dolls with thousands of stories behind their newly painted eyes. 42 women whose stories deserve to be remembered. I first showed the collection to my spouse, Tom, who was publicist for both the Smith and Compton books. He said he had listened to the stories of these women professionally for over 20 years, had listened to countless sessions on their meaning, their lives, their impact. 11 of these women later married his great-grandfather, Heber Kimball, and in his own way, he considers these women as grandmothers of sorts. He said the impact of seeing the doll representations of these grandmothers was heartbreakingly profound and caused him to have to sit as he took them in. It had an effect on others. My cousin, who has no LDS affiliation other than my brother and me, came to visit in August. As we sat in my kitchen among the dolls, I began telling her their stories. She broke down in tears, heartbroken for these women. My aunt also wept as she listened to the stories. Upon seeing the dolls displayed on our dining room table, my teenage daughter Kaya blurted, "That is an absurd amount of wives." Numerous individuals on social media have thanked me for sharing the stories of these forgotten women and have shared my posts at the risk of offending stalwart members of the church who sit in their circles. Oh, I missed a slide. There we go. Well, here, I'll let you look at this one. This was actually the second set that I made for a collector. And, of course, we have Joseph and the wives in sunbeam fashion around him. Karen Peter, a Community of Christ member, interviewed me for her project, Zion Podcast. We spoke about my project and about the effects of polygamy, past and present. We shared stories about these women and the hardships they endured. Still, others are requesting my artwork of the women of polygamy for books, presentations, and collections. This project moved me in ways I never expected. I remember the first time I heard about Joseph Smith's polygamy. It was 29 years ago. My husband of the time was taking a college course on Mormon history. He told me in passing one night that Joseph Smith was sealed to other women before he was sealed to Emma. At the time, I dismissed the cognitive dissonance that I felt when he told me. I told myself, maybe he's wrong. I justified the action with the scenario I'd been taught that Joseph Smith married widows as an act of charity. When I learned about Joseph's affair with Fanny Alger recently, I could no longer ignore the weight of the cognitive dissonance. My heart and mind were opened. This led me to learn about other women who fell prey to Joseph's enticing offer of eternal life. I am certain Joseph's story does not end with 40 wives. Joseph Jackson claimed that Smith bragged of dalliances with 400 women. Within recent years, Joseph Johnston discovered two additional wives and possibly a third. When will the list end? How many more dolls will be added to my collection? How many women did Joseph Smith collect? How many were told that they must submit to Joseph in order to save him or to save themselves and their families? How many refused? The possibilities are overwhelming. As overwhelming as it has been to learn of these women's stories and to create this artwork in their honor, I feel a great sense of satisfaction as I play a small part in keeping their memories alive, I hope that others who see my artwork and read the stories of the women will join me in this effort. Questions? It's my blog site. Yeah, probably. Come up to the microphone because they're recording.
Okay, so you have the doll, the white one that is unknown?
Yes. You noticed from my picture.
Existed. I mean, where did that come from?
Joseph Johnston believes he may have found an additional wife. He's still trying to verify that information.
Is that the Wyoming one?
Yes. If she is indeed a wife, then the story is that she was 13 years old. And, of course, Joseph made the rule, the law in Nauvoo, that girls couldn't get married until they were 14. So it's reported that he waited until her 14th birthday and then married her. And he's still, there's a complication because some people are thinking she might have been sealed to one of his brothers instead of to him, but he's trying to verify that. And I figure if not her, there's probably somebody else. Yeah. Other questions? Yeah. You probably should come up to the microphone. Yeah, sorry.
So how many wives did he have in Kirkland and how many in Nauvoo?
All of the wives came from Nauvoo. If you count Fanny Alger as a wife, that would have been in Kirkland. But this all happened within the 2.5 year period in Nauvoo.
Well, which makes me ask another question. To acquire this many women and as busy as he was with making up revelations or doctrine, how did he have time to manage this?
Well, that's a good question.
In 2.5 years, and
that's a good question.
Stuff he was.
He was busy.
Doing.
He's very busy. One of the things that we learned that Joseph did was he would tell these girls, you're meant to marry me. He would often give them reasons, such as, you know, the angel with the drawn sword came to me and I'm going to die if we don't do this, right? Your family's salvation depends on it. And he would give them 24 hours. He would either say, marry me right now, or he would say, you have 24 hours to decide. She's in the back. So I'll just explain. Fanny Young, who is Brigham Young's sister, she was on the street one day and ran into Joseph and Brigham. And Fanny, they were talking about the celestial kingdom, and Fanny said, you know, I'm happy just being a ministering angel in the afterlife. I don't need to be married. And Joseph said, oh no, that's not the right way to think. And he said, Brother Brigham, I want you to marry us right now. And so she was sealed to Joseph on the street that minute.
That was his sister?
That was Brigham Young's sister. Brigham Young's sister, yes.
So we know how many wives there were because we have records, but...
Correct.
Do you have an idea of how many number of spiritual wives that he had?
Well, those were considered spiritual wives.
But there weren't there... I have heard that there were relations outside of a ceremony, just sexual relations that were called spiritual wifery.
Well, that's the question. Yes.
Then there was women that he was sealed to after he died.
Yes. So these were all of the ones who would have been considered spiritual wives. We don't know if he had a physical relation with all of them. We have evidence that he had physical relations with several of them. But we don't know about how many. We know that some of the women, especially some of the older women who were married to him, for instance, one named Durfee, the girls called her Mrs. Durf. It was her charge to convince the young women to enter into polygamy and marry Joseph. Yes.
You can't look at that and not feel the impact of how outrageous it is. You know, I have my little book of paintings of each of them, and you look at them separately, but when you see them all together, it is sickening. It's really good.
Thank you.
I appreciate you doing that.
Thank you.
I know all of this.
Yeah.
But this is a different experience.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's... That was unexpected for me. I did not enter into this thinking I was going to make Joseph Smith and all of his wives. I just started. I started with one, and I kept going, and I was filling up this bookshelf. I had one shelf that was mostly empty, right? And I started filling it up, and I went, I'm only a fourth of the way through, and I still have more wives, and I just kept going, and now they fill up almost the whole bookshelf in my house. So it was not my intention, but the impact, it's affected people. I gave this presentation at the Kirtland Sunstone a few months ago, and a gal was there, and she's been following me on Facebook and following my artwork, and she said, Kelly, I need you to know that your artwork helped me get through my faith transition. And I said, oh, thank you, that's so nice. And she said, no, I need you to know your artwork helped me get through my faith transition. So that made me so happy. That made me so happy.
So that was my initial reaction as well. I remember seeing it for the first time, and it sort of knocked me back on my heels. And that's interesting because I've been sitting next to you at the table, and I saw a historian that I've known for 25 years who has done all of their biographies and who's the one that introduced them, you know, their names to me, and he stood in front of your table, and you could see him physically and even emotionally being affected by this. So, yeah, this is really a unique thing that's been done, and I think it's really fantastic.
Thank you.
I did have a question, though. You brought up Mary Leitner. And that's made me start thinking about timeline. You said that she was 12.
Yes.
So what year is that?
Well, what year was that? That was in Kirtland.
She was born in 1818. So that puts it at 1830.
Yeah. Yeah, she reported that she was 12 when he, yeah. Yeah. It's overwhelming. Yeah. How are we with time?
Good.
We're good. Okay. If anybody would like to know any of the stories of any specific women, I'm happy to share what I know. Did you have a question?
I did. It's kind of an ancillary. The women who refused Joseph.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard rumors of them being shunned or treated very poorly. Do you have any specific stories?
I have a story, not one specifically who refused to marry Joseph, but Martha Bretherton reported that she was taken into the offices of Joseph Smith at the Red Brick House and was told that she was to marry Brigham Young. And she said, no, I don't want to do that. And they kind of kept her in that room for hours and hounded her and said, no, you need to do this, and you need to, this is going to happen. And they finally said, okay, you have 24 hours to decide, and let her go. Well, she refused, and then they sullied her name. They drug her through the mud, said she was a tawdry woman, that they've caught her on top of a man somewhere, and just completely sullied her name. The same thing happened to Nancy Rigdon when she refused to marry Joseph Smith. Yeah, you're welcome.
So you said this was 2.5 years.
That it took him, to take
so
all these wives.
I'm just curious, how long did it take you to create 40 dolls?
It took me 5 weeks. 5 weeks. But as I was unpacking them yesterday, you know, it was taking me a long time to unpack them and set them on my table. And I said, yeah, I'm unpacking these dolls about as quickly as he married them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the relatives, the sisters, the mother-daughter pairs, were they all aware of each other?
That's a good question. We don't know. I imagine the ones who were living in the home, so the Partridge sisters, the Lawrence sisters, they actually lived in the home in Nauvoo, they had to know. Right, they had to know about their sister. They weren't married on the same day, so I don't know if they knew at the time of the marriages, but they had to, you know, get together and have girl talk and, oh, I'm married to Joseph Smith. Oh, that's so funny, I am too, right? Right? They had to know. Yeah.
How many did he marry gentle orphans?
I don't have a count on how many he married that were orphans, but there were a few. Yeah, there were a few. Lucy Walker is one of them, who was an orphan. I think she was 17 when he married her. The Partridge sisters were orphans. They were a little bit older when they married him, but they were still young. And the Lawrence sisters were also orphans? Okay, so we've got then five, at least five.
He married them all within 3 weeks.
Okay, so he married them all within 3 weeks, as my husband. Yeah. Let me think of who I can tell you about. Does everybody know Jane Manning's story? Is there anybody who doesn't know Jane Manning's story? Because I think that's really important. Okay, I'm going to tell Jane Manning's story. She's the doll there on the front left, my left, you're right. Jane Manning lived in the Nauvoo house, the Nauvoo household, in the mansion. And she was a paid worker for Joseph and Emma. Well, Jane and Emma were about the same age, and Emma really loved Jane. They got very close. And Emma wanted Jane to be part of their family. And so she said, you know, I have an idea. I would like to have you sealed to me and Joseph, but not to Joseph as a wife, but to us as a child of one of our children. And Jane Manning at the time had not joined the church, and so she kind of was not on board with it at the time. And Jane Manning ended up going out to Utah with Brigham and the other saints. And at that point, Jane said, you know, she went to the church leaders and she said, this was our plan, and I really want to be sealed to them. I love Emma and Joseph, and I want to be sealed to them. And the church leaders denied it. And she went back again, and they denied it again. And she went back a few times, and finally they said, okay, we'll seal you, but we're going to seal you as a servant. So Jane Manning is sealed as a servant to Joseph and Emma for eternity.
But the side note on that is she had to have a proxy in the temple, and I think it was Eliza, and she had to wait outside the temple while that was done.
Oh, I see. I don't know that part of the story. So our audience member just said that Eliza was her proxy. Eliza Snow, she believes, was her proxy for that. Yeah. I know she wasn't allowed her endowments. That didn't happen until the 1970s when... You know, I think it was the 1970s when... 78, thank you. Any other questions? I can... Yes.
You might have already said this. I came in just a little bit late.
No, that's okay.
But I... you can just tell me if you have. Did you give maybe a preface or... I'd just love to know what your personal drive is in doing this. Like, it's beautiful art.
And thank you.
I think it's, you know, like so many people have said, it helps inspire the message in such a different way. Just like all great art, we get to see it differently now.
Thank you.
And I just wonder, like, do you have a personal connection with polygamy or with, and pardon if this is too personal of a question,
no.
But like any kind of this destructive type of spiritual abuse, is there some personal drive behind this that makes this meaningful to you?
Yeah, absolutely.
If that's too personal.
No, it's not too personal at all. Absolutely. You know, I have a similar story to a lot of other people who grew up in the patriarchal church and didn't even recognize the damage that was done until I got out. But what led me to do the dolls, I had walked away from the church and was learning things. And I started reading. Well, I went to the Smith home. Some of you guys have heard this already, but forgive me if I repeat it. I went to visit Kirtland, Ohio, and I saw the Smith home in Kirtland, Ohio, and I learned about Fanny Alger. And when I learned about Fanny Alger, I learned that after she left Kirtland, she married a man named Custer, Solomon Custer. Well, I know I'm related to the Custers, and so I said, well, maybe I'm related to her. And I did the research and found that I was. So then I picked up the book, Mormon Enigma, and started reading it, and it was breaking my heart. And I didn't know what to do with that pain, and so I pulled out my watercolors and I started painting portraits of these women as I read their stories. The first one was of Fanny, and started painting their portraits. And I ended up doing portraits of Joseph and all of his wives, Heber Kimball and all of his wives, Willard Richards, because my kids related to him, and all of his wives, and many others. And I ended up with about 100 portraits of these people who practice polygamy, and which is a tiny little piece of who actually practice polygamy. And I looked at this stack of pictures, and I thought, so this is 100 people. And then I looked at just Joseph's, and I went, okay, this is 40 wives. And it just, I wanted to quantify it. I didn't know how to, it just didn't quantify it for me, you know? And so I had done, I had taken Bratz dolls in the past and painted them for Comic-Cons, where I'd sell them at Comic-Cons. And as I was unpacking, when I moved to Kirtland, I was unpacking my things, I found some of these leftover dolls. And I just picked one up, and I thought, yeah, this could be Mary Elizabeth Rollins. And that's where it started. I was not intending to make all of the wives of Joseph Smith when I started. I was just going to make a couple of the dolls. But in 5 weeks, I had this. And then I realized the impact that they could possibly make. And my goal was, as I painted their portraits, I put a little vignette of each person on Facebook. And just to tell a little bit of their story. And that's what the dolls are for, too. It's so that people are intrigued and want to learn the stories of these women. You know, you go to the Mormon site. They don't like to call it that anymore. We're winning for Satan. you go to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints site down in Kirtland, and they show a movie. And in the movie centers around the Whitney family, right, who owned the store, and Joseph Smith came to them and said, you know, you've called me here. You know, you've prayed me here. What do you want? And they show little Horace, cute little Horace, right, the son of the Whitneys, but they don't show Sarah Ann Whitney in that movie. Why? Well, she became a wife of Joseph Smith. People are going to ask questions, right? They're going to Google it, the Whitney family, and find out about Sarah Ann. Yeah, so I want their stories to be told. I want them to be remembered. I want their faces to be known.
So I'm wondering, do any of these women write regrets? I wish I wouldn't have done this.
You know,
just not that first night of that 24 hours was agony, but, you know, later down the road, or any of them try to get out of it? Can I be unsealed? Any of that?
We have women who chose not to be sealed to him after his death, right? We have Helen Mar Kimball, who said, I never would have married him had I known that this marriage came with everything that marriage comes with. But we also have women who, in the older years, still seemed proud of the fact that they were married to Joseph Smith. I mean, he was their rock star. He was their prophet. And so I haven't seen a lot of regret from these women. But I've also seen some of their struggles. If you read some of their histories, you can see the struggles that they went through. One of the mother-daughter pairs, Patty Sessions, she not only was a wife of Joseph Smith, but her husband practiced polygamy. And so her husband took on other wives. And she wrote about the extreme sadness and of hearing her husband in the other room with his other wife, and of the cattiness that went on between the two women, and the taking turns, and the you stay here on the banks while I take this one out on the boat, and the heartbreak that caused.
Oh, Kelly, where can we find the portraits?
I recently read something that I hadn't read before, but I thought was really meaningful, and that was that the early Christianity, one of the purposes was to cleanse the sexual practices that they, you know, had in pagan and Old Testament times, get rid of incest, polygamy, and then Joseph Smith brings polygamy back. And
right.
And here that was spoken. Right. You know, read about the early Christianity, that was very repulsive to them.
Right. And in the beginning, he preached no polygamy, and he denied that he was practicing polygamy as long as he could, right? I mean, he denied it till the end. But, of course, we know he was. I had a question of where can we find the portraits. I have not put all of them online yet. Well, they are. They're just kind of scattered. So I put them up on Facebook. And my Facebook page is Facebook.com/GoKellyGo, Go Kelly, G-O-G-H. So G-O, Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, G-O-G-H. I'm going to eventually get them up on my blog site, which is savingjosephsmith.wordpress.com. People ask why I call it Saving Joseph Smith. Would you guys like to know why I call it that? So one of the tactics that Joseph used was to tell these women that they were saving him. They were saving his eternal life by marrying him. So in essence, they were saving themselves. They were saving their families, and they were saving Joseph Smith. Thank you. Thank you.
We have 20 minutes.
We have 20 minutes left?
If you want to pick a couple of your favorite stories about this woman, I would love to hear.
Okay, if you guys want to stay, we're going to share. We're going to share some stories. I have the vignettes that I wrote that I put up with the portraits that I put up. So what if we call out numbers between 1 to 40, and I'll read you the vignette of the number that you choose. Does that sound good?
Okay.
I'm going to have to put on my glasses for this one because I didn't make it big print. Okay, somebody call it a number.
33.
Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one that some people don't realize that about Nancy Maria Winchester. In 1843, 14-year-old Nancy Maria Winchester became then 37-year-old Joseph Smith's plural wife, possibly making her his youngest. As with many of his plural wives, Joseph Smith knew Nancy since she was a little girl, 8 years old in her case. So everybody knows about Helen Mar Kimball, you know, who was married to him several months before her 15th birthday, right? But a lot of people don't realize that Nancy Maria Winchester was also 14. Okay, another number?
Four.
Oh, this is a good one, too. Oh, they're all good ones. I don't know why I say that. I love all of them. I love them. Except for Eliza Snow. I don't like her. Zina Huntington met Joseph Smith in 1836 when she was a teenager. 5 years later, the already married Zina would become Joseph Smith's plural wife. Smith wrote to her in October of 1841 that he had put it off till an angel with a drawn sword stood by me and told me if I did not establish that principle, plurality of wives, upon the earth, I would lose my position and my life. So she's one of the ones who reported that his life was at stake. Okay, another number?
12.
Miranda Hyde. I love Miranda Hyde. I'm going to keep saying that, even though I told myself not to. Miranda Hyde met Joseph Smith when she was 15, and he lived with her family for a time. In 1842, when she was 26 and he was 36, Joseph took Miranda as a plural wife. At the time, Miranda had been married to Orson Hyde for 8 years. Via Joseph Smith, God warned Miranda to hearken to Joseph in all things.
10.
The already married Sarah Kingsley Cleveland was 53 when she became 36-year-old Joseph Smith's seventh polyandrous spouse in 1842. Joseph and his first wife, Emma, found respite at the Cleveland's home in Quincy, Illinois, for a few weeks in 1839 after Joseph was released from prison. Okay, another number?
Eight.
This is Patty Sessions, and so we have 8 and 9 on this one. Patty Sessions and Sylvia Lyon were one of two mother-daughter pairs Joseph Smith took as plural wives. He married 23-year-old Sylvia and 47-year-old Patty within weeks of each other in 1842. He was 36 at the time and had already sealed himself to several wives without the knowledge of his first and only legal wife, Emma. Sylvia and Patty were both married to other men at the time they were sealed to Joseph.
26.
Okay, we have 25 and 26 together. Joseph Smith first met Sarah and Maria Lawrence when they were 11 and 13 on a visit to their recently converted parents in Toronto. In 1841, after their father's death, Joseph appointed himself guardian of the girls and trustee of their family's estate. In 1843, when the girls were 16 and 19, they became plural wives of 37-year-old Joseph. Question?
So question, with the polyandry situations, can you tell me about how the other husbands responded? You know, how many were like off on missions? How many were like
I can tell you a little bit.
Non-members, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so we have a dozen polyandrous situations, a dozen women who were already married when Joseph Smith took them as plural wives. We have evidence that three of those men knew. We have evidence that some of the men absolutely didn't know. So we don't know how many didn't know, but we only have evidence that three knew. An example of this is Mary Elizabeth Rollins, who Joseph actually came for two different times. The first time he came for her, she refused to take him as her husband. But the second time he came to her, he convinced her. She was 23 years old at the time, married to her husband, already had two children, and he convinced her that she needed to become his plural wife. And it's reported that they got married while her husband was out of town. So I'm sure he didn't know.
Did he find out after?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Yeah. Yes.
Do you have any good stories or connection to when Joseph was killed?
Yeah.
Carthage.
I do have a good story. You want to hear it?
Yeah. I just wondered if there's any connection to...
Yeah. So two of the newest wives that Joseph Johnson has found are Esther Dutcher and Marianne Voorhees. And Marianne Voorhees, it's reported that her brother was one of the ones who was at the murder of Joseph Smith at Carthage Jail, and that he was one who slammed his head up against the well and said something like, "Go see your wives in hell." So that was her brother. Yeah, so he was probably a little angry that he'd married his sister. Yeah, is that a good story? You like that one? Yeah, it's a great story. And Joseph Johnston, he tells great stories. He told me that one. Yeah. She is standing. I always put her right next to Joseph because she was so in love with him. And so I always put her right next to Joseph. And you can see that I put her and Emma in matching shirts because I think she wanted to be Emma. That's just my little thing. But yeah. Yeah. Do we want to do another number or do we have another question? You guys are going to forget what number you shouted out.
What's about the last one?
The last one? Okay. I think I have the last one. Let's see. We'll find out what I have is the last one. Okay, I only have up to number 38, because when I was painting their portraits, I only knew about 38 wives, so I only made 38 vignettes. Yes?
So how did they find the other wives?
Joseph Johnston has done a lot of research, and he found the Marianne Voorhees and Esther Dutcher and thinks he may have found another.
A
lot of people come out of the woodworks and say, hey, I've got this family member, I've got this journal, I have this information, and he just tries to verify it. Yeah. So 38, oh, and I told you this story. I'm going to read it again because it's a fun one. Okay, 38 was Fanny. Fanny Murray was her name, sister of Brigham Young, was 55 and twice widowed when she became Joseph Smith's plural wife in November of 1843. Brigham remembered that his sister told Joseph she wanted to be a ministering angel after her death and didn't want any companion in that world. Joseph replied, "Sister, you talk very foolishly. You do not know what you will want." He then reportedly turned to Brigham and said, "Here, Brother Brigham, you seal this lady to me." So that's the story I told earlier.
37.
Though they haven't discovered evidence of the date, Mary Houston was one of the last plural wives sealed to Joseph before his death. They were likely sealed in late 1843. So we don't have a lot of information about some of them, which is, I want to find it. we've got to have something, right? Melissa Lott, I'm going to read about Melissa Lott. She's number 35. Melissa Lott was 18 when she moved into the Smith family home in 1842. A year later, she became one of Joseph Smith's plural wives. She later affirmed that she was a wife in all that word implies, and that she had roomed with him in room number 1 at the Nauvoo Mansion, as well as at her father's home. In the Lot family Bible, the union is listed as sealed for eternity. Yes?
Why were so many people sleeping
in over at Joseph Smith's house? They hired a lot of girls to work in their home, to take care of the kids and take care of things. So that was happening. And Joseph was inviting people to have their daughters live in his home. If something was going on with the family that they needed a place to stay, he's like, hey, they can come stay at our house. Also, a lot of the women that he married, he had stayed in their home, whether it was for a week or a few days. So he was kind of an opportunist, in my opinion. Yeah, and that's how he found his women. They stayed in his house or he stayed in theirs. I think about half of them, either he stayed at their house or they stayed in his. Yeah. Yeah, you guys want to hear some more? Okay.
I have one question.
You have another question? Okay.
Okay, so after Joseph Smith died, what happened? Were most of these wives just sealed to somebody else?
Yes.
Or was it in another polygamous relationship? Or did many of them say, nope, not doing this, I just want one?
So about a dozen of them went to Brigham Young. About a dozen of them went to Heber Kimball. And about a dozen of them were already married, so I don't know where they went. Yeah.
Hide.
Yes?
Hide.
To hide?
Oh,
the split up like pie? Yes, thank you. Yes. Yes, who knows? Who knows? Hi. Lucinda Morgan Harris is a really interesting character. Do you guys know about her? So Lucinda Morgan Harris is one of the people that it's iffy whether they actually were sealed together. She bragged to, let's see if I can find out here. Hold on just a second. To Sarah Pratt. Bragged to Sarah Pat that she had been Joseph's mistress for 4 years. One of the interesting things about her is that her husband, Captain Morgan, is that what they called him? Captain Morgan, was a Mason, and he put out an expose on masonry and ended up being murdered for it. So that's just an interesting story about one of his wives. Yeah. And then I told you about Louisa Beeman, and how she... Here, I'll read this to you. Louisa Beeman met Joseph Smith when she was 12 years old, so another that he met when she was young. In April of 1841, at age 26, she would become his first recorded plural wife. LDS Apostle Franklin D. Richards reported that Joseph Noble, Bishop of the Nauvoo Fifth Ward, performed the first sealing ceremony in this dispensation, in which he united Sister Louisa Beeman to the Prophet Joseph Smith. Noble reported the ceremony took place during the evening, under an elm tree in Nauvoo, the bride disguised in a man's coat and hat. So that's Louisa Beeman. Love that story. There's a story. I'll tell you this story. So I can't remember all the names, but this is, I think it's in Nauvoo polygamy. Joseph ran into one of his friends who he had allowed to practice plural marriage, because he was picking and choosing who he was allowing to practice plural marriage, and not sharing that information with others. And so, because many of his friends didn't even realize he was practicing it, many of his close friends. So this man had already married two sisters, and Joseph met him on the street one day, and this man said, I want to take the third sister as another wife. And Joseph's like, well, but I want to take her as my wife. The man said, yeah, but I want her as my wife. And so Joseph went home to think about it. And very shortly thereafter, God gave a revelation that you could only marry two sisters out of a family. Right? Isn't that convenient? I know, right? Benjamin Johnson told that story. Okay, thanks. And Benjamin Johnson gave his two sisters. Yeah, Joseph told Benjamin, that's right, because Joseph told Benjamin at the time, the orphan girl is the girl for, there was an orphan girl in his home, that's who you're supposed to be married to, is the orphan girl. And so Benjamin Johnson, I also painted Benjamin Johnson and his wives, married the orphan girl. Yeah. Yeah. How are we on time?
We have about 10 minutes left, but my request is, can we end a little bit and then be able to look at the dolls before we have
Absolutely.
To rush out of here?
Absolutely.
Was that
That
and maybe people
fine.
Could come to you with their private questions. At about 4:45, we need to be out of this room.
Okay.
People will be ready, getting ready for the next.
Okay, so. And so I'll need to pull the dolls down. So, yeah, we'll end now and let them look at the dolls.
Yeah.
Okay.
And let's give Kelly another
Thank
round
you.
Of applause.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks.